I want to remind you that the Old Testament contains the New Testament. It's concealed. And the New Testament contains the Old Testament, and it's revealed. And it's all one revelation from God. Don't ever forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is strategically hidden throughout every page of this blessed book. He's there. If you know how to look for him, if you know him, you'll recognize him. If you know him, that's worth saying two or three more times. If you know him, you'll recognize him. You'll recognize familiar things. It's real unusual. I was sitting in a barber shop in Washington, Kansas several years ago, and I was sitting in the barber chair looking out the window. I noticed some guy walking up the sidewalk looking in windows as he was going, and I think he was looking for the barber shop. There was a guy I knew from Ashburn, North Carolina, or Albemarle, North Carolina, was walking up the street, and I met him in the barber shop in Washington, Kansas. And there's something funny about when you start to see things that you know, and when you see what you know, you see Christ in Scripture. I want to try to point some things out to you this morning, but I'm not smart enough to do that. But I need the Holy Ghost of God to speak to you and show you some things in this Scripture. You stay seated this morning. I'm going to read a bunch of verses. Genesis chapter number 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. I think it's interesting that in this portion of Scripture, as far as this is concerned, there's no name. We don't know what this servant's name was. He said, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." He said, "I don't want my son marrying one of these heathens. I want my son to marry somebody special. But go thou into my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said to him, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this mine oath, only bring not my son thither again." The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swearing him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. The number 10 in your King James Bible designates completeness. When that servant left that house, that servant had everything that was needed to bring a bride back. Glory to God, this ain't my message, so I'm going to try to stop right there. I like to preach on the camels are coming, but everything's there. And it departed with, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. A lot of good things happened by the well. At the time of the evening, even the time. The time. What time? The time. I'm glad I had a the time one day. The women go out to draw water. I'm telling you, there's pictures peeping out everywhere here, and I can't get them all. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. You understand that water in the Scripture is a picture of the preaching of the Word of God, don't you? You knew that. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, and give me a drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give my camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Therefore shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, which was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. She wasn't going to him, he was going after her. And he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. She hasted, let down a pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran again into the well to draw water for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace. Glory to God. You see the Holy Ghost of God wondering at God's dealing in grace with a lost sinner. I'm telling you, there's more in here, and I know how to get out, but I'm going to try to go on. Let me stop crying. The man wondering held his peace whether the Lord would have made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight, two bracelets for hands, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Melchah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Over the course of the next several verses, he follows her home. Her brother Laban comes to the door and says, come in. You're welcome here. We want you to be here. And he sits down with them to meet. And while he sits and eats with them, he tells the entire story over of what has just happened. Everything I just read you, he tells that story. And the verse number 49 says, and now if you would deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, let me know, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Now, he's just told them his purpose, why I've come here. I've come to get a wife for Isaac. That's what I'm here for. And he said, are you cooperative? Can you get, are you going to work with me in this thing? Am I come to the right place, or am I wasting my time, or do I go on somewhere else? Laban and Bethuel answered, the thing proceedeth from the Lord, and we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. And behold, Rebekah's before thee, take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, and all the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also unto her brother and her mother precious things. They did eat and drink. And he and the men that were with him tarried all night. They arose in the morning and said, send me away into my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. And after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. They called Rebekah and said in her, will thou go with this man? She said, I will go. Ain't nobody going to force her to do nothing. They asked, you willing to go? She said, yeah, I want to go. They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them." Thy seed, you see that word S-E-E-D? That's Jesus. That's her seed. That's Jesus. Rebekah arose, her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. The servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahaira, where he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. I can't help but wonder, what was he thinking about? Well, I know what he's thinking about. He's thinking about that bride that was going to come to him one day. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Camels of grace bringing a bride. Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac and lighted off her camel. She said to the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." Therefore she took the veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he'd done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. Back in verse number 58, they called Rebekah and said to her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go. If God would help me and God would bless me and let me get through this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of a bride for Isaac. Wilt thou go with this man?" I'll give you three things by way of alliteration this morning, and I'll start with the will of the father. Verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee to swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And what I see here in the will of the father, it is the will of the father to have a bride for his son. But she's going to be a particular bride, and she's going to be a peculiar bride, and he's not letting his boy marry just anybody. And I realize today that if you've ever been to a funeral, you find out pretty quick that when it gets down to that little metal box, that the average human being in America today thinks everybody gets to go to heaven. But I got news for you this morning. Everybody ain't a-going. It's just a particular crowd that's going. It's just a particular few. They ain't just everybody invited to go along to this thing. God ain't just taking just everybody. Just the ones that's been washed in blood. The ones washed in the blood of his darling son. And there's a particular, peculiar bride that's being sought out by the will of the Father. Abraham here relies on the immutable and unchangeable, unchangeable promises of God. God promised him a son. God promised him a land, and God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. Although at the time God made this promise, Abraham was already an old man. Could you imagine this morning, Brother Ed, you're younger than Abraham was when God made this promise, but yet he staggered not at the promises. Romans 4:17, as is written, "I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I want you to stop for a minute, bring in the wonders of your mind, and get a hold of what I'm about to say. In the infinite wisdom and the understanding of Almighty God declared all of the creation of planet Earth in Genesis chapter 1. God declared all the mysteries of the creation of Earth in 31 verses. Now God chooses to dedicate 67 verses to this marriage because of its theological significance. And we dare not ignore the beauty or the importance of this story this morning. And the will of the Father is to seek a bride for the Son, that God might be glorified in the fulfillment of His covenant promise. And in this story, in this fulfillment of this covenant promise, you see the redemption of the entire human race. The Word of God said, now after the death of his mother, the father sends the servant to find a bride for Isaac. If you don't already know this in typology, his mother is a picture of the nation of Israel. And the bride for Isaac is the church, the born again children of God. But it wasn't until the death of his mother, a picture of Israel, that he went to look for a bride, a Gentile bride. What's that a picture of? He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I see the beauty of this picture. I see the will of the Father, and I see the work of the servant. And as far as this portion of Scripture goes, there's no record of the name of this faithful elder servant, because the center of attention is the son and not the servant. And I thank God for the blessed Holy Ghost of God. And if you ain't figured it out yet, that's what this servant is in this story. It's the Holy Ghost of God going to seek a bride for the Son. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. But he did not come to glorify himself, but he came to comfort the bride, to call the bride, and to honor and glorify the Son. Verse number 10, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. And all the good things of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor, and made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. What are you talking about? I'm talking about those camels of grace were knelt down by a well. That well's a picture of grace. That well's a picture of the drawing of water of the Word of God. And if you ain't figured that out already, it's a type of the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you think if there was an easier way for men to get saved, I'd stand up here and spit and slobber and holler and act like a crazy man? And I'm telling you, it pleased God by the foolishness of what I'm trying to do this morning to save souls. And I'm drawing water out of the well of grace to try to get somebody to see. And God brings those camels, the Holy Ghost of God parks them camels by a well of water. And I believe the Holy Ghost of God's pleased to work by the well of grace. When God's man preaches, God's Spirit moves and God works in that atmosphere. Verse number 31, you see that brother Laban, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. That's a picture of the church welcoming the Holy Ghost of God and said, we're glad you're here. We want you to be in our presence. We're willing to give up our ritual, and we're willing to give up our stinking little old routine and do our little old thing and just let you be God. I bless his holy name. He came by here Wednesday night and just did what God does best, and that's be God. Let us get out of the way and worship and just thank him for being who he is and what he is. When the servant comes in the house, he speaks boldly, straight to the point. I'm not here for a social visit. I didn't come to drink coffee. He said, but I come to look for a bride for my master's son. He spoke so plainly that he was on a mission and he couldn't waste his time. He could not waste energy and he could not waste resources. And church, I'm going to tell you this morning, when the Holy Ghost begins to move, he's not on a timetable, but he didn't come to hang out and make small talk either. Neither we do business with God while he's near, or he'll go find somebody who will. Let me say that again, Pleasant Grove. Are you listening? I said you'll do business with God while he's near, or he'll leave you and go find somebody who will. I've told churches that before, and I've found that's a sad reality that so many times people won't take that serious. Church, you'll seek him for the sake of sinners while he can be found, or you will lose your opportunity. Dear sinner friend, either you'll get serious about doing business with God while God's around, or God will leave you and he'll look for somebody that will get serious. 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. God gave a space of grace of 120 years that Noah preached while he was building that ark. God gave a man of God that would stand up and live in front of them people every day for 120 years, and now they're screaming in hell. God gave them their space of grace, and we've been in the church age for 2,000 years now. And you take my word for it, whether you understand this or not, our space of grace is almost over. You just look around. If you ain't got sense enough to see that, you've already been blinded. God's already judicially judged you and you can't see. This thing's almost over with. And I asked a question this morning, and I love you folks and I care about you, and I'm absolutely convinced in my heart. There's a handful of people in this building this morning. You've decided somehow or another that you want to do the best you know how to try to get serious about serving God. And I realize and I understand that you fight battles and you have struggles with your flesh, but I'm going to ask the rest of you just exactly when is it you're planning on getting serious with God. Lost sinner, just exactly when is it you're planning on getting serious with God? That God means something more to you than just showing up here on Sunday morning acting like you've done God a favor. I'm talking about the work of the servant. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I hear from people all over this country. I cannot even begin to tell you. I cannot even begin to tell you the people that tune into our services on a regular basis, whether they do that through social media, they do that through the websites, they do that through Facebook here at the church or whatever. But literally, I'm telling you that there are thousands of people every week that tune into what's going on here. I said thousands every week that are listening to what's going on here. And the fact of the matter is, I hear from people all over this country, and they say something like this, Brother Mike, we can't find preacher like that where we live. Brother Mike, I can't find a church anywhere where we live where God even shows up anymore. Had a precious young man that loves us dearly, that follows us, and that tries to take a part as best he can in this church that lives in Arkansas. And he said, "Preacher, I cannot find a church anywhere where I can find God." And I'm telling you, God, the Holy Ghost has shut doors and blown out candlesticks all over this country. And we better do something with what God's given us. Because I'm not threatening you. Do you understand? I'm not threatening you. But I'm telling you earnestly from the bottom of my heart, what God's given us here, he could just as easily take away. If we fail to appreciate it, we fail to respect it, we fail to act like it means anything to us. The price was paid. He gave gifts to the family while he was there, this unnamed servant. But that says that the price was paid before she ever decided whether she was going to go with him or not. You may die and go to hell one day, but the price for your salvation has already been paid. God's going to let you make your own choice. He ain't going to make you go somewhere you don't want to go. But I want to bring you in here. I want to reel you in for a minute. Can you listen to me intently for just a few more minutes? What an incredible, overwhelming, supernatural work of grace in the heart of this young woman, Rebecca, that she agreed to leave everything she's ever known, to travel with a man she does not know, to a place she's never been, to marry a man she's never seen. Can you get a hold of that? She's willing to leave everything she's ever known and go with a man she don't even know, to a place she's never seen before, to marry a man she ain't even never met. If you're saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I can tell you this, I don't know what he said that day in that house. I don't know what all that servant said. It didn't record all of his conversation. And there was a whole long journey ahead of them, Miss Lori, and I don't know what he said all the time as far as the specifics of it. But whatever he communicated, this unnamed servant of Abraham, whatever he communicated to her so captivated her heart, so soothed her soul that every fiber of her mortal being yearned to be in the presence of that man she ain't never met. Every fiber of her mortal being yearned to be in his presence. You say, "Preacher, what in the world did he..." I can tell you a little bit about what he told that girl. He told her about the son. Stay with me. He was the prophesied son. He was the son in which the angel of the Lord came and told Abram and Sarai that you're going to have a son. He was prophesied long before he ever came on the scene. It was a prophesied son. He was a miracle son, Brother Ed. His daddy was 100 years old. His mommy was 90 years old when he was born. He was a miracle son. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? He was born of a virgin. He was the only son, the only begotten. You say, "Well, I thought Abraham had Ishmael." Yeah, but he don't count, because he was by the handmaiden Hagar. And that's the type of the first Adam. The one that fell, and Jesus is the second Adam, the one that counts. He was the submissive son. Do you remember when that Abraham took little old Isaac? I don't know how old he was, probably in his late teens, may have been even in his 20s or even 30 years old. When Abraham went to Mount Moriah to sacrifice that boy because the Lord had told him to sacrifice his son. He went up there. He wasn't no little bitty youngin. He was probably grown, a young man at the very least. Miss Stephanie, he was the submissive son, but the Word of God says his father bound him. And he willingly trusted his father in so much that he allowed his father to tie him up. And I'll say something else about Mount Moriah, that he was only not just the submissive son, but he was the suffering son. You see, Isaac, when he went up to Mount Moriah, they left those mules. They started up that mountain at Mount Moriah. Isaac, the son, carried the wood for his own offering. He wasn't no little bitty boy. He was a young man. And he was having to carry the own wood for his own sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus had to carry his own cross down the Via Della Rosa, down that mile-long stretch of street to the northwest corner of the city. And he stumbled under the load, and they summoned a black man named Simon of Cyrene to help him for a little ways to carry that cross. You see, he was the submissive son. He was the suffering son. And he was the sacrificial son. You see, he was to be the sacrifice. It's all a picture of Jesus. He was the sovereign son. He was the sovereign son in the fact that Isaac is just about to be the heir of everything that his daddy owns. He's getting it all. And that includes the nation of Israel, by the way. All of Canaan's land is going to be his. He's the sovereign son. But right here, right now, he's the searching son. Because he's looking for a bride. That's what he's doing here this morning. He's the searching son. He's looking for a bride. Girls, listen to me this morning. If you've got a brain in your head, you're not going to give your heart to a man you don't trust. I reckon that's probably why there's a lot of people lost today, because they've made up their mind. They've been hurt. They ain't trusting nobody for nothing. They ain't going to trust God. But I'm telling you what, if anybody loved you enough to die for you, you can trust them. Verse number 59, they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. I'm just going to give you this, and we're going to go to the house. But she started on this journey, and there's a handful of you here this morning. You're on the journey. You started alone, and you've left the house, and you've left everything you've known, but you've got a nurse. You've got that servant, and you've got the men that are with him. You say what that word nurse mean. By definition, literally, that word nurse means milk. It means milk. What are you talking about, preacher? 2 Peter 2:2 is newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You may be on a long journey, but you're going to get some milk. God give you a man to feed it to you, to give you those things that you need and cherish from God's work. When she left that house, she had her nurse. And she's had Abraham's servant, that's the Holy Ghost, to comfort her. And his men. Who was his men? That's holy angels camped around God's children to take care of them. You see, a lot of folks don't know or understand this, but that journey they took was 500 miles plus. 500 miles, pretty good stretch of road today, ain't it, Eric? But 500 miles then was probably close to a month's journey. And it's a long journey. And Isaac, verse 63, went out to meditate in the field at eventide. I can tell you, I believe I know what he was thinking about, Brother Ken Canby. I think he's thinking about he's sure going to be happy when his bride gets there. You see, the Lord Jesus said that all things were in the Father's hands. And even he didn't know the day and the hour. That was in the Father's hands. And the Lord Jesus is in the field just looking out, meditating, waiting on the Father to tell him, son, go ahead and get your bride. Glory to God, that's real to me. That's real to me. And he's fixing to step out and he's fixing to get his bride. The Word of God said, Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. Why'd she do that? She knew. And she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field of me? Now, she asked that because she was being polite, and she wanted to be sure, but she knew who it was. You know him. You may not never seen him, but you know his touch. If you've ever been born of the Spirit of God, you know his touch. You know when he comes by and brushes up against you. And you know when you smell that faint aroma, that rose of Sharon, that lily of the valley come by you. And the servant said, "It's my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. There's a whole lot to be said here, and I'm going to stop now. I ain't going to try to mine all this good stuff out of this. But if you've already decided you're going to go with the servant this morning, it's a long, hard journey, 500 miles, between 3 weeks and a month's journey. But Brother C.L., when I read this scripture, I find out that between that servant and those men and those camels of grace, she made it all the way home. She got, you say she left her family behind. They're the Jews. They're going to get to come later, 7 years later, as a matter of fact. They're coming. But you're going to make it all the way home. There may be some dark nights that you sit around the fire and you're wondering what it's going to be like when you get there. But I tell you what, until you get there, you listen to that servant and he'll tell you stories about the son. You listen to your nurse and he'll tell you stories about the son. And it'll encourage your heart and it'll help you on your way home. I've told you all I can tell you right now about a bride for Isaac. And the question this morning is, as that servant says, wilt thou go with this man?